This week has been exceptional, hasn't it? It has. On Wednesday night it was, 101 weeks and 2 days, all restrictions from COVID were removed. 101 weeks of fear, and we all know what fear's like, don't we? We all know how real that COVID was. I had COVID. It's horrible. I had it before the vaccine. It's horrible. So I'm grateful for the NHS. I'm grateful for the vaccine. And also grateful for God for providing a variant which is not as tough. But what an exceptional week, you know. I've been looking forward to this day for so long. Where I don't have to wear a mask. That's me personally. Okay, but if someone wants to wear a mask, that's fine. Everyone's entitled to their how they want to be. 4 hours later, right, Russia attacks Ukraine. It was like, come on. I don't know about you. It was a loud bang. Thursday morning when I woke up, it was a loud bang. Russia had attacked Ukraine. And I remember, because I'm an old man, aren't I, Mia? I remember that I'm a spring chicken. But I remember the Cold War. But I wasn't old enough to understand it. I remember the fear that my mum had of if a nuclear missile was going to be attacked, the fear that I weren't a Christian then, my parents aren't Christians. So there was real fear in the house at times. You know, is this going to escalate? Are we all going to die? Is World War III going to happen? Yeah, they're the sort of thoughts that go through. We're human, aren't we? We always, every situation, do you like think of the best outcome when you're like, oh, I'm going into this situation. The best thing that's going to happen, it's going to be amazing. No, we don't. We go into a situation, you're like, what's the worst thing that can happen? It's like when you got a headache, you start Googling. And you're like, I haven't drunk enough water is probably the answer. But it's like, oh no, I've got brain cancer. That's the worst scenario goes through our head. Yeah. But for me, I remember, and I wasn't a believer, I remember it resonated with me when Russia started attacking Ukraine. Oh no. Because they got more nukes than America. Oh, yeah, I'm thinking logically. Yeah, no, they got loads. But it's the threat, isn't it? Because they've got nukes, and here we lie. If anyone fires them, we're all dead. But we know in the Bible that what the Bible says. You know, we know in 1 or 2 Peter, it says about God says when the universe is going to end, a new heaven, a new earth. And he says in the moment of a roar, of a sound, there'll be a new heaven, new earth. Now, it's God's timetable, not man's. So, yeah, I thought, what an exceptional week. We've only just begun. So I was supposed to be preaching on a new series, The Long Road to Easter. Easter's coming. You like Easter? I like Easter eggs. I love Easter eggs. But then it was towards the end of the week, even though I prepared, the Lord said, no, I want to share something different. So I am. I'll be obedient. So we're going to be reading from Revelation 3. Don't worry, it's just not, and no one's getting beaten up. Because you know the one, don't you? Revelation 3. Verses 14 to 21. I don't know why I'm getting in my Bible. I've got it in front of me. Yeah. So, to the angel of the church in... Do you know, I practiced this so much. It's gone. Laodicea. Yes? These are the words of the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the ruler of God's creation. I know your deeds and that you're neither hot, cold nor hot. I wish that you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. You say I am rich and I have acquired wealth and do not need a thing. But you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, so that you can become rich and white clothes to wear, so that you can cover your shameful nakedness and save to put on your eyes, so that you can see. Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. So be earnest and repent. Here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me. To the one who is victorious, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I was victorious and sat down with my Father on his throne. Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. I was like, oh Lord, why? I don't want to preach on this. I don't want to preach on this because quite often preachers will use it to try and beat up the church. And that's not where I felt it. He said, no. Don't worry about that. We're not going to beat up the church today. And so I was like, Lord, why? And so he answered me over the course of a few days. And he showed me some real hard facts about his creation. It was in Bible study a couple of weeks ago, he reminded me of. And it was talking about the hunger to be in God's presence. It was talking about, you know, if I lived in Malden, and I don't, but if I lived in Malden, would I walk to church if I didn't have a car to come to church on a Sunday morning? Would I be that hungry that I want to be with God's people? And when I thought about it, no. Let's have a look. No, that weren't the answer I was looking for. In some countries, you know, they walk for hours to come to church and they don't go home. You know, it's like you turn up. I know that we're getting like that. You know, we turn up, we start half 10, don't worry, we'll be here at 12, it's all right. But in some countries, you know, you turn up for church and church might be hours long and you just come and go. But when I really thought about it, I want to. So I think I'm a work in progress. Two. Now, the population of Witham is, we can't go by the census, because that was 2011. We didn't have a census last year, did we? Did we? Okay. I can't remember if I did it. I thought I did. The population of Witham is, let's just say it's under 30,000. Yeah, we've got new places being built, you know. That's a good estimate, isn't it? And looking at numbers, I know the churches, I know the rough numbers in churches that are in Witham. And I reckon between 1 and 1.5% go to church. That's probably between 300 and 450 people. Now, that broke me to think that we have the greatest gift ever given to creation. A chance to have a relationship with God. It just broke me. And three, everywhere I've gone this week, now you know my heart, you know I'm evangelist through and through. Everywhere I've gone this week, God's reminded me that not everyone knows the Lord. So it might be in the supermarket, it all of a sudden makes me cry. It might be in a restaurant, it might be in a pub. Sounds like I've had a great week, doesn't it? Might be in the streets. But Really, he was. It was painful to look around where I am and know that not everyone's going to be with God. The greatest gift from God for humanity, and how many reject, or how many have never heard the good news. So I'm going to play, because this can do better than me. I'm going to play a video, right? And it gives you the background for the church that we're talking about. So I'll give a bit of background, okay? Would you play the video, Chris?
Laodicea was known for their school of medicine, which was the chief medical center of the region.
One of the
school's graduates wrote an influential text.
There was two videos. It's like being at a cinema, isn't it? Come on, who wants popcorn? No, not ice cream. No. So on the desktop. Yep. Yes.
This is Laodicea, a city located in the Lycus River Valley in the southern portion of western Turkey. In the first century, there were three major cities in this river valley: Hierapolis, Laodicea, and Colossae. Due to the fact that there were six other cities with this exact same name, Laodicea was known as Laodicea of the Lycus to distinguish it from the others. This was an extremely rich city, and the people who lived here prided themselves on their financial independence and self-sufficiency. Of the seven churches to receive letters from Jesus, this letter seems to stand out from the rest on how it connects with many people today. While the ruins accessible here are really impressive, it's the message that Jesus gave to Christians here that really resonated uniquely throughout history, especially because of its parallels to our culture today. This is a city that worked hard and eventually became very prosperous, but only to discover the dangers that come from self-reliance and prosperity. The words of Jesus to the Laodiceans speak loudly throughout time as a warning to all of us who depend solely on ourselves. Several statements in the letter to Laodicea make better sense once the general context of this area is understood. First, the city's major liability was its lack of fresh water. The city of Hierapolis was only 7 miles away, but it was famous for its hot springs. On the other side, Colossae, which was 11 miles away, had a good nearby supply of cold water. The city of Laodicea, however, did not have its own spring nearby, so they were entirely dependent on aqueducts to bring water to them from natural springs in the mountains nearby. Despite the cool temperature of the water at its source, by the time it traveled on the exposed channels of the aqueducts on its way to the city, it changed to a lukewarm temperature. The people of Laodicea would have understood the value of both hot and cold water. Nearby Hierapolis, with its natural thermal springs, was a spa destination for the entire region. Cold water obviously was desired and refreshing in a hot climate like this one. The only water supply that Laodicea had in its immediate area was mineral rich. This left it essentially undrinkable for the people of that city. Water with this high content of minerals leaves significant residue once it cools from its original thermal springs. The White Cliffs of Pamukkale are a great example of this. This was especially true with the water supply from Hierapolis. The hot springs in that city were even more mineral rich, especially with the mineral lime. In fact, to this day, everywhere these springs come to the surface and cool in that area, massive lime deposits are left behind. The reality of the water situation in Laodicea impacted the way Jesus communicated his feelings about their devotion to him. He used their context as a springboard to address their lack of commitment. And that message would have been heard loud and clear by the original audience. Jesus says to them, "Your casual approach to following me has made you virtually impossible for me to accept. I would just rather spit you out of my mouth." A second piece of background information is that Laodicea had become known as a banking center for this whole area. And over time, they became extremely wealthy and were really able to enjoy the benefits of a rich lifestyle. Interestingly, in just the last 15 years of ongoing digs, they've discovered unbelievable displays of the immense wealth that was present here in Laodicea, further confirming the accuracy of Scripture. They became so wealthy here in Laodicea that they were proudly able to proclaim their financial independence, even from Rome itself. One example of this was a nearly unbelievable situation in which they refused the emperor's offer of financial assistance for the process of rebuilding their city after it was destroyed in an earthquake in AD 60. In other words, they believed they were financially stable enough after a devastating natural disaster to pick up all of the pieces on their own. This kind of wealth and the impact that it had on people's way of thinking was a major part of why Jesus chose to approach this group of people the way he did in this letter. A final piece of background information has to do with a major commerce in this area. Laodicea was famous for its purple wool. Due to the mineral content of the soil and the water in this area, sheep actually grew a dark, purplish wool coat. And this wool was obviously very expensive and desirable, especially for the ruling royal class. And this trade only enhanced their wealth because they were situated along the Silk Road, a major trade route, and their wool became world famous, generating huge income. The textile industry that resulted from this incredible phenomenon made fashion and dress an integral part of the cultural makeup of this city. And Jesus alludes to even this very specific part of their worldview in his letter to the believers here in Laodicea.
I didn't know some of that stuff. I wonder if it made the people have purple hair. Oh no. I mean, it gives a little bit of context to why and how Jesus spoke to the church. But the words that were written 2,000 years ago, they're still relevant today. You know, the cycle that we go through is the same. The draw of the world. Matthew 6:24. No one can serve two masters. Either you hate the one and love the other, or you'll be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both money and God. You know what it's like? Whether that's money, status, whether that's seeking love in places that are unholy, there is a draw. You know, do you know what I'd love? A Ferrari. You've got your own, okay. I'd love a Ferrari, but do you know what? That's not going to happen because it's not actually something I need. You know, there's things that we might want. Actually, when we give them to God, he gives us the things we need. And Jesus said the truth there. And it speaks to all of us in some ways. Before we knew God, satisfaction came from other things. But they can never fill that hole. Do you know when you vacuum? Who vacuums here? Come on, see some men. Yeah, we vacuum. Yeah, after church, yeah, needs a vacuum, okay? Well volunteered. You know, like you, as the adolescent, it creates a vacuum. You know, as it goes on, you see the vortex spinning and spinning like a tornado sort of thing. In that middle, then things of this world tries to fill that hole, but it never will. It's only the things of God that's going to fill that hole and give us that satisfaction. And there is a desire as well to conform to the world. Romans 12 says, "Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed." Love that word. "Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, and then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." We've only got to look around and we can see that truth. Where do we seek our identity? It's wrapped up in there. Does being in a certain friendship group, does that give us our identity? No. Does coming to church give us our identity? No. As a believer, it's in Christ. Our identity is in Christ. He died for us so that we can have a relationship with Jesus, with God in heaven. So Jesus died on the cross. He took us and then we're alive again. But our identity lies in Christ. And our identity in Christ looks a heck of a lot different to the old identity. What I love hearing about testimony, I mean, the baptisms. I love baptisms. And the reason why I love baptisms is because I get to hear about lives. You know, what was you like before you encountered God? That's what I love. You know, and not every story is like amazing, but it is amazing. Not everyone is like the drugs, yeah. Not everyone was like me. Not everyone had to be set free from certain things. Some people, do you know what, they might have been raised a Christian and they realise Jesus is real. That's the testimony. The from one point to another. Yeah, at one point he was my father or mum or dad's God, but now he's mine. That's transformation in the mind. It's brilliant. Matthew 5:11-16 says, "You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden." Now, can you imagine? I don't know about you. When you read, do you get the picture in your head? Yeah, I do. So when I read books, it's like a film. So you're the light of the world. And I can imagine, I don't know. Someone want to stand up? Who wants to volunteer? No, you don't want to stand up. Oh, Eddie. Thank you, Eddie. Now, you imagine, right? When you go for this scripture, like, you're the light of the world. So you see Eddie, he's glowing. He's the light of the world. No. "A town built on a hill cannot be hidden." Come stand up here, Eddie. A little bit more, over here, and carry on. Never say no. "Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl." Can't do that, can we? Once you've got the light glowing on the hill, what's the point in having a light that you put under the chair or under a bowl? Instead, you put it on a lampstand. You want to stand? No, we're not going to stand you on a stool. See, if you'd have got up, Sean, you could have stood on a stool. "And it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." Thank you, Eddie. Oh, we get a clap? Should we get a clap? Yeah. So we are to stand out as bright lights, which is a high calling. Do you know how hard it is being a Christian? Yeah? Is it easy? No, it's really hard. But we need the Holy Spirit to help us. And he will help us not to conform to the old ways, to the pattern of this world. He will. That cycle. I learned a word a while ago, and it was in a fitness video. 90 days fitness. Wow. Come on. I didn't hear that, Mia. So, and there was a word, and it was called, the video was called Insanity, right? It was 90 days of fitness, and it hurt, right? But what he said, this guy said, he's an American guy, I can't remember his name now, but love him. He said, right, that the definition of insanity is doing the same thing again and again and again, the same way, but expecting the same results. Now, that's a life without Christ. We can go and, you know, we can go and find satisfaction from them places, but they're never, ever going to satisfy us. We're to stand out. We are to stand out and be different. I mean, that's just 2 points there, but the answer is we cannot do life without Jesus. And we need Jesus more than ever. Now, I'm going to just... Gonna speak in a bit of Hebrew now. Can't even speak English, but well, I'm gonna use the English translation of Hebrew. Anyway, Isaiah 61 verse 1 says, "The Ruach of Adonai Elohim is on me, the Spirit of God, because Adonai has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty." Freedom to the captives and opening of the prison to those who are bound. Does anyone here this morning feel in chains? No, brilliant. Praise the Lord. But let's dissect the lesson from the church in Laodicea. Now, fresh water supply. I know your deeds, that you are neither hot, neither... And that's strange. I would always say hot first, but it's not. It's neither cold or hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot or cold, swaps it around, I am going to spit you out of my mouth. There is zero encouragement there for the church. It's not like a praise sandwich. You've all had reviews at work where you're amazing at this, 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 and tucked in there, boom. There's no encouragement there to the church. Straight to the point. Jesus uses the surrounding environmental problems. You've seen the background. To make a tangible point. To hit to the heart of the problem. They were neither hot nor cold for the Lord. And I'm sure that we've all gone through that at some point. I can't be the only one. And we know the context of why Jesus used that imagery of hot and cold. Their own fresh water was channeled via an aqueduct. Does everyone know what an aqueduct is? Because I can explain. An aqueduct, it carries water. It's like a big channel and you from one place to another. It's like a Roman version of a sewage pipe, but fresh water. And this would resonate with everyone in that church. And their own efforts are their own efforts were just like this. They were neither hot nor cold, but they were content with the lifestyle they'd become accustomed to. Now, water is an interesting tool. It's an interesting tool to use. Because Jesus refers to water in John 4. He says, John 4, 13, 14, Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." Here's a promise. Never thirsty again. That's the water that God wants to give us. Never thirst again. So the people of Laodicea were content. But so if the people of Laodicea were content with the promises of God, it might have been different. But how thirsty were they for the things of God? Wealth. "You say I'm rich and I've acquired wealth and do not need a thing, but you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in fire, so that you become rich, and white clothes to wear, so that you can cover your shameful nakedness, and save to put on your eyes, so that you can see. Imagine being that wealthy that you haven't got to worry when an earthquake or a natural disaster flattens your town, that you can just rebuild it with your wealth. How easy would it be? I think that's why Jesus said how hard it is for the wealthy. How easy would it be just to do things in their own strength? They didn't need help from God nor man. And that is a false gospel. I think they'd forgotten. Do you know when you're born? Yeah, you're born with no clothes on. When you die, you don't take nothing with you. So whatever we acquire in this life has no value in the eternal perspective. What has value in this life is, have we chosen Jesus? Have we not? We'll all meet at, you know, the pharaohs loved it, didn't they? You've got to love a pharaoh. Bury their slaves with them when they die. What a fantastic leader. But they tried to take all their wealth with them, didn't they? Build these huge pyramids, build these, and then lock in all the treasures, all their cats, all their stuff, gold, jewels, for the afterlife. So they couldn't. Not there, is it? Still there. The robbers come and took it. You know, we will meet our Creator one day. We all will. I pray it's not today. But we will meet our Creator face to face. And the question is, this is a rhetorical, but what are you going to say to him? So just a bit of application for us. To the church in general. Jesus is coming back. Amen? Thank you. He's coming back. He died. He rose. He went up to heaven. And Spirit come. But there's a point when Jesus is returning. And the Bible says, wake up. Not everyone will get this, but are we doing everything we can to make disciples? This might be a wake-up call. It broke me when I realised how few people in Witham go to church or know Jesus. You know, at times, flat out, busy, you know, trying to reach the community. But it's like, well, Lord, what it needs is not just Bethel to get involved here. It needs all the churches. There's no such thing in the letters that it says to the churches in that town, to the church. It says in the word, it says there is one church. We need all churches to succeed. So how can we encourage churches, other churches? How can we encourage them? Well, God is certainly blessing us as a church and what we're doing. But for us, I'd say it's prayer. We pray, you know, 6 times a week there's a prayer gathering on. And anyone can come. Some of us are desperately praying together to see lives changed. And we want to see the Holy Spirit move. We want to see revival here in Witham. We do. We know that it's not through our strength that lives are going to change. We know it's through God's strength, through God's Holy Spirit that can change and transform. But not just here in Witham. We want it all around, don't we? Do you know what happens when the fire of God descends on a nation? Well, in 100 years' time, you'll be talking about it. We still talk about the Welsh revival. Don't we, in 1904, We still talk about revivals of the Wesleys, you know, where George Whitefield, where they had like 35 to 50,000 people speaking, and there was no PA system. And people were giving their life. When revival comes, people are walking the door, fall on the floor in repentance. Something's got to change. And I'll give you an example why I think something's got to change, because the world is stupid. Right? And I mean this for this one point of view, right? Do you know on peanuts? Do you know it has, this may contain nuts. When we get to a world view that we have to put on peanuts, this may contain nuts, something's wrong. Would you agree? We have to be told. We can't look at their feet and go, peanuts. I'm allergic to them, I'm not going to eat them. It doesn't matter. But what matters is what are we going to do about it? What are we going to do about it? Are you content? I mean, let's be honest. I've got family who aren't Christians, who don't know Jesus. I still love them. It's my mum and dad. Of course I'm going to love them. But am I content when you look at eternal perspective of we live for, I'm going to say I live for 100 years. I think that's good innings. Yeah. Am I content? 100 years, million years with God. Million. Eternity. That 100 years, am I content with not doing anything to share the gospel with my family? No. I think I want them to be with me. And it's hard. It's hard. My dad's always right. It's hard. But God can make a way. So if you're like me, you're like, I want to stand up. I want to pray for my family. I want to pray for my friends because I want them to be with me. I have the greatest gift. We have the greatest gift given to humankind. It's better than a Ferrari because a Ferrari needs petrol. This gift doesn't need petrol. This gift that God gives is eternal life. And that's exciting. So if you need to stand up, repent, get right with God, so you can be used, why not? Our job is to shine like Jesus, just like Eddie. Just shine in there, like a light bulb, but more than a light bulb, like an LED bulb. So as a personal, are we content with the view, our view that we're saved? And then to maybe live a worldly life. Are we content? I don't know circumstances. These are just as God felt that I should share. And what are we chasing? Are we chasing something that will go through the furnace of fire of God and come out the other side? So I'm going to play a video again. Just a short one. Second video, please. And then we're going to finish.
Laodicea was known for their school of medicine, which was the chief medical center of the region. One of the school's graduates wrote an influential textbook on the eye, and he developed a revolutionary eye salve. People would travel to Laodicea simply to visit this medical school and purchase the eye salve for their different eyesight problems. This is something that the Laodiceans were very proud of, a medical breakthrough that again illustrated their self-sufficiency and capabilities. But in light of that, Jesus tells them to buy eye salve from him. The people who had the whole region coming to them for medical care, he was instructing them to come to him for healing. In other words, you think you have all the remedies. You think you can see, but really you need to purchase salve from me so you can see what really matters. Isn't it interesting that in a very prosperous and developed location, Jesus clearly says, you've missed it. You've missed me. You can't see it. You can't see that you've allowed your dependence on yourself to make you casual and lukewarm in your relationship to me. You're blinded to your own spiritual drift. So how about you? Do you think you're self-sufficient and able to live without the guidance and leadership of Jesus? Have you allowed your success to lead to a place where you've just become numb to your Savior? The Christians in this city clearly had. Because of that, Jesus urges them to buy from him. In other words, to seek him and follow him with all that they have, so that they would come to a place that they recognize that all they are and all they have only comes from him.
Told you I weren't going to beat you up. So here's a challenge. Who needs healing today? I know you do, Ruby. With your foot. So we'll pray for your foot later. Who needs healing today? Who wants to... Sean, your ankle, you want healing. Who wants healing, as this man said, from a saviour? Who wants to give their life more to him? Yeah? Wonderful, wonderful. We'll have some prayer after. That wasn't a challenge, but the challenge is, are you ready to be the hands and feet for Jesus in the places that God sends you? That's it. I'm going to pray. For those who want prayer, come down the front. We'll have some people to pray. We'll do it while the last songs, where we're doing the last song. Yes, pray. Yeah, Jesus, I want to thank you for this day. Thank you for your glory, Lord, that resonates in this place. Lord, I want to pray for that excitement of knowing you. Lord, that nothing's boring. You know, there's days when we don't know what's going to happen. And so we thank you for that as well. But then, Lord, also thank you for them times when it can be quiet. We can just reflect on you. So, Lord, I pray, Holy Spirit, challenge us this morning. In however way you challenge. In Jesus' name, amen.